I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net. In this podcast series with BearingPoint, we previously looked into utility computing with Frederic Veron. For this conversation with BearingPoint Senior Manager Pinaki Roy, we wanted to examine more specifically the technology view of utility computing. Pinaki says it is one of the most scrutinized but most misunderstood facets of this area.
When people think about utility computing, they think about all the brand new technologies out there, like virtualization or grid and things like that. And there's a plethora of products out there. But making sense of it all is the real challenge. How you put all the pieces together to make a productive environment for your organization is the one piece that organizations today are struggling with.
So is it fair to say that people look a little bit too closely at the individual elements of the technology view without getting an overarching view of the technology?
I think that's really it. They can't see the wood for the trees, because they're looking at individual components. And what you've got to do really is take a step back and look how each piece fits together and how that can help the overall IT organization get more bang for their buck, as it were.
And how would you go about suggesting an organization do this?
So in terms of this, we've put together a fairly high-level, simple framework, but it should help people analyze the vendor landscape out there and what the products are doing. And really what we do is try and stitch together all the technologies, starting almost like the OSI stack, starting all the way from facilities, concentrate through servers up through to applications, but concentrating on the server piece. So if you take the virtualization technologies, for example, there are multiple ways of doing it right now, and we're not recommending any way to do it in our framework. We're just listing the various ways, and these include technologies such as hardware partitioning, hypervisor-type technologies, or OS partitioning technologies where you just do it with a single operating system. There are many choices out there. Most organizations actually go for one of each, but longer down the road, using the framework, you can narrow down your choices to make sure you're getting the best value for money.
So is it fair to say that there is no one answer, one technology to do it all, but that often people are kind of, they're looking for that and that it's a little more complex than they would like it to be? Is this part of human nature to look for a one-size-fits-all answer?
I think you're spot on there. I think people are looking for this magic answer to do everything. And if you take a look at the framework, that how we present the entire landscape, you can tell that one technology isn't going to do it all. So I think the sort of 80-20 rule comes around here, in that the bigger vendors or the main players in the space will fix 80% of your problems, but then you will need other technologies around the side, similar technologies or maybe slight competitors, to augment the initial solution, to give you the overall picture.
As you've suggested, this is a highly complex solution to a problem, and one that probably we can't completely outline in the short podcast that we have here, Ben. But for our listeners here, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about specifically how they can pick and choose the pieces that fit together for that 20% that might be missing, that might be very specific to their needs.
So let me go into a little more detail. When we talk about virtualization technologies or clustering or grid, I think getting that last 20% is not necessarily about picking the perfect vendors or the perfect products. It's about how you actually instrument those technologies. And we've identified 9 key areas which help to instrument those areas. And this includes the server hardware layer also. These are areas like provisioning and configuration, management of resources, and ultimately, because you're in a utility environment, you've got to have some kind of metering. The goal of utility computing is obviously to charge people on a usage basis, much like you turn on the tap and you pay for what you use, but it's also there when you need it. I think that's really the goal of utility computing, but to do that, you need to have these key instrumentation functions in place.
Given that you've identified these instrumentation layers, I was wondering if perhaps you could pick a few of them and give a little more detail to give our listeners a little more idea what specifically you're talking about here.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I think one of the key areas, because you're consolidating your infrastructure down a lot, is the ability to bound resources. And when you've got applications sharing boxes or servers in this utility computing environment, it's important that applications have resources at their disposal and no other application takes over those resources. So these are resources like licenses of software, CPU, memory, network I/O, disk I/O. So it's really key. One of the areas of instrumentation that I talk about is resource bounding or resource management. So it's important to have a tool in place that can guarantee the applications, those types of resources that I mentioned before, exactly when they need it. But also the ability to share out the resources when they're not being used by that application with other applications. So that's how you maintain a smaller pool of server hardware than you would have in a normal environment.
Once having identified these instrumentation layers, does the identification of your specific needs then have an effect on the approach to implementation of this?
We actually recommend a phased approach to implementing these instrumentation layers. I mentioned 9 areas before, and these include quick provisioning and resource management, as we spoke about. We kind of group the 9 areas into 3 plateaus or phases that we would recommend implementing. When you've got a utility computing environment, it's a lot denser in terms of your application to server ratio. So we recommend enhanced fault monitoring, because now if a server goes down, you're potentially affecting a lot more services or business units. And you really want to do that in a lot quicker fashion than you've done before. Identify those faults and fix those problems. That's where the provisioning comes into place. The ability to provision a new server quickly to meet new demand, whether that's because you have a peak workload or whether something else has gone down somewhere, so you have to provision something new. So the ability to react to faults quickly through provisioning is key here. Also, because you are reacting to faults quickly, in this first phase, we also recommend having a more real-time CMDB, so you're aware exactly where all your services reside at any moment in time. Further down the road, we recommend things like auditing capabilities, so you're aware that everything is made to your standards or is rolled out to your data centers as per your standards defined, and a little more granular monitoring of the resources that we spoke about. And the eventual goal, or the final plateau, is the metering, charging back people for exactly what they use and when they use it. So everyone sees an equitable share of the pool of resources that you've now created as an IT organization.
I wonder if you could just, Panaki, if you wouldn't mind, please, just talking a little bit more about how you organize these 9 instrumentation layers into 3 different groups. What are the considerations when organizing them into these 3 groups, and how do those 3 groups work together with each other?
So really, we do recommend breaking the 9 instrumentation groups into 3 phases or 3 major groupings. The reason for that is we feel it's too big to bite off at one go. The first sort of layer or functionality that you need to get to is, because you are doing server consolidation or applications more densely residing on servers these days, you need to be acutely aware of what's out there, and you need to be able to control the resources that are there, and in the event of problems, configure servers up quickly to replace the servers that have gone down. So the first grouping we really talk about is about enhanced fault monitoring, looking at where your virtual servers reside on physical servers and making sure you're aware of those relationships. And when you're aware of those relationships, put them into some kind of real-time CMDB. So no longer the end-of-month CMDB, so you are aware of where things are going on. Your CMDB in utility computing needs to be more real-time. We spoke about resource managers or resource bounding tools before, so applications aren't tripping over themselves. And, you know, a little bit we touched on provisioning also, so you can provision resources as you need them and as applications need them when they're hitting those peaks. The second grouping really now is about how you configure the entire utility computing farm together and how you monitor it and how you maintain its standard-based configuration. So you need some audit capability, you need some granular monitoring capability of the resources, and you also need the ability to configure multiple machines at the same time, something we call automated configuration rather than automatic configuration. And lastly, the icing on the cake, now how we put it all together, we implement some kind of workload management scheme where when applications need more resources, you can dynamically add resources to them, whether that's through horizontal scaling or vertical scaling, or simply by moving an application from a smaller box to a larger box. And then the last piece of the jigsaw is the metering piece, charging applications for the resources they use. Because once you've got an inefficient application and you start charging them for the resources they're using, the applications will soon correct themselves and come down to the resources they actually need. That's how you put it all together, and that's what will eventually give you a dynamic utility computing environment.
And I have to assume that the part of the implementation that we recommend also has to do with ongoing assessment as you continue through, so you can refine that implementation process to the best possible results as you go along.
I think that's really key. In each of these areas, you have sort of maturity levels. And so although you implement a new provisioning tool, there are levels of maturity that you can do. And in that respect, I would recommend organizations to come up with a maturity level 1 to 5 rating and target, as they're going along, incremental improvement. I think utility computing, as we spoke about before, is too big to do in one big leap. It's a phased approach helps to do this. And so in that respect, we have also created defined maturity levels in the product set and instrumentation areas. So as you mature your functionality, as your tools are capable of doing more or doing more quickly, you reach a higher maturity level. And as the vendors release new products, we'll have to keep examining this maturity model and reevaluating the various levels, because what's 5 today is not necessarily going to be 5 out of 5 tomorrow.
And before we wrap up here, as you said, this is a fairly complex topic, and specifically the technology aspect of utility computing is complex. So if people wanted more information, they should get in touch with Bearing Point and discuss that with him specifically. But I wonder if there's anything else you could leave our listeners with here before we wrap up.
So I think the nirvana of utility computing is everything. Every environment or every organization is really striving towards that now. What we would recommend is taking a slow approach to it, analyzing where your products fit into the type of framework they've implemented, come up with some kind of maturity model as to where you are today, and set a target state for the end of the year. And that way you can select the vendors or products that will help you get to your more immediate goals rather than thinking about the nirvana state.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking out some time today and speaking with us, Pinaki.
Thank you.
Pinaki Roy is Senior Manager with Bearing Point.